Evening, saints. God bless you this evening. Okay. So we just need to get our technology in order here. So shalom, saints. God bless you this evening. Welcome to the Bible study for this evening. We wanted to get into a topic here. I don't know how long we'll be in it. Maybe just this week, maybe next week. But it's an important topic. Just came from some questions and some discussion that was taking place. And I thought maybe we could just look at this evening as to the difference between justification and sanctification. So I called it the mystery of redemption, because in this plan of redemption, the Lord's redemptive work in each of our lives, there's these different phases, different stages of redemption. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and things move on from there. So, God is perfected in threes, and you always see these things put together: justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's Martin Luther, John Wesley, Azusa Street, the restoration of the baptism and so forth. You'll find that whenever God is doing his work, you'll always find it like this, these three things going together. And this is not just a random order. That these three things being put together like this in this order, it's not a random order. This is a necessary sequence of events, which is what you want to see, is that one precedes and leads to the next. So I think it's quite an important thing, especially these first two, which leads on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So these two are very much prerequisite for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So it's very important for us to understand maybe what we're speaking of here. But let's pray first. Father, we do need your grace this evening. We do need your help. So may you help each and every one of us, Lord. May you draw near to every soul, draw near to every life. Guide us in the way that you'd have us to go, that as we'd come to the end, Father, your will may have been done this evening, Lord. Bless your people online. Bless your people on YouTube. Bless your people that are here, we pray, as we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, these are three things. And it is a little bit more depth in it than that, obviously, but one precedes the next. Brother Ram says the first thing, he gives this analogy. We all know it if you've been in the message. He says there's a glass laying out in the hog pen or the chicken yard, whatever it is. So he has a glass that maybe you want to use for a good purpose. You want to use this glass, but it's lying out in the mud. It's lying out in the hog pen or the chicken yard. You want to use it. The first thing, you pick it up. That's justification. You've got it in your hand, but you can't use it yet. It needs to be cleansed. Then you take it, you wash it, sterilize it, boil it, take all the germs out of it. That's what God does through sanctification. Takes all the desire of sin out of your heart, cleans you up, and then you are a candidate for the filling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because the Lord's not going to obviously want to pour his spirit into an unclean vessel. We'll see that as we get deeper into sanctification, because it's a very powerful thing, sanctification. There's a lot involved in it, but it's such an important part of the Christian experience. So, every Christian is somewhere in this process we're speaking of. My brother says you can be justified without being sanctified. You can be sanctified without receiving the Holy Ghost. So, this is a process. So, every one of us as believers, if you're a believer, you're somewhere in the process. If you're not yet a Christian, you need to come to justification. That's the beginning of the process. Once you get in the process, he who begins the good work, he has a desire to complete that work. Now, he's leading you somewhere. He's got a purpose and a plan in what he's doing. God is not the author of confusion. He's leading us somewhere. So each one of these things is a step. It's a work of God to bring us somewhere according to his purpose that he has for us. Now, each of these three steps in this process are a deeper work of the same Spirit. So I put the tabernacle there. So if you came to the outer court and you offered on the brazen altar, you're coming before the presence of the same one who, if you went within the inner veil and came deeper into his presence, it's the same God you're dealing with, but you're just getting deeper and deeper. It's just becoming more and more personal. It's just becoming more and more real as you go from justification at the brazen altar, sanctification at the brazen laver, enter into the sanctuary, then you come right into the Shekinah glory of God. So it's the same one that you're dealing with. This is not something new. It's just you coming to a stage where you're saying, I want a deeper walk. I want to live more like Christ. I don't want these things inside of my life. I want to know him better. Yeah, that's like this walk that we're talking. The Lord wants to bring us to the place where he is. That's what he's trying to do. So the Bible says the church is just moving up. Holy Ghost power. So he's taken it from the days of the Reformation. The Lord restored now salvation by faith, justification. And then John Wesley came, the next move of God was to say, look, it's fine just to believe, but that's not enough. You need to live a holy life. And the holiness church is the holiness move. That was sanctification now. And then that went on for 150 years or so. Then the believers, the turn of the 20th century, started sensing in their spirit that God wanted to take the church deeper to return his dynamic power to the church. So they started to cry out in the spirit, the time of the Welsh revival and all that. And then the Holy Ghost now fell once again, and the dynamic power of God was restored. But it's the same Holy Ghost, the same one that justifies you. That's what he says. It's the Holy Ghost power. It's the Holy Ghost that we justified by. The Holy Ghost sanctifies us. The Holy Ghost fills us. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith, you see, as we move up. So as he's leading his church, taking his church deeper and deeper, he's got an end result in mind, is to glorify his church. And as he's working inside of your life, he's bringing you to the stage. He wants to glorify you as well. He wants to be glorified in you. The term Paul uses is glorification. So we will get into that. So when a person receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's you're no stranger to what the Holy Ghost is, because you've already been dealing, the Holy Ghost's been dealing with you down the line of justification. Then the Holy Ghost is dealing with you in the next stage to the line of sanctification. Now you come to the next experience. It's a deeper experience. And it doesn't stop there, because you come to rapturing faith, what we call the third pull. Imagine that super anointing that's going to come for believers to be changed in a moment, to twinkling of an eye. You have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but this is just a deeper portion of the same Spirit. So this is where God's taking his people deeper and deeper, but it's the same Holy Ghost. So when you ask somebody who's just believing on Jesus, you have the Holy Ghost, they do, they have it in a measure. We'll see it next time. But there's a deeper portion. There's more of the Holy Ghost here, and we'll understand it as we go by. So you can keep going on and on. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same work of redemption. He who began the work, he's taking you deeper and deeper in the same work. He goes on then to say, and this is the message countdown, the Holy Ghost power can justify you. The same Holy Ghost power can sanctify you. The same Holy Ghost power that sanctifies you can fill you with his presence. Now, who has tasted of the Spirit of God and doesn't want more of him? I mean, there's no person who's come into the presence of God who doesn't want more of Christ. And that's how we need to look at this, to say, if you wanted to go deeper, God has a way to take you deeper. But you've got to understand, you've got to walk in the way that he's provided. And then the process will take care of itself. There's no problem in this if you go about it God's provided way. So to understand the difference, this evening we don't want to look so much on the Holy Ghost yet. We just want to look at the first two stages, justification and sanctification. And to understand the difference between them, we need to consider the three tenses of salvation. So in the Bible, when it's speaking of salvation, there's three tenses when the Bible speaks, and this is taken from Romans chapter 5, and we can get into it later on another time, but I just wanted to give you a bit of an introduction, the three tenses of salvation. And these are justification, sanctification, glorification. Paul says, he who is justified, he has already glorified. So you're going to find these three things going together. I'm going to leave the baptism of the Holy Ghost out, because It doesn't quite fit in these categories just yet. But we'll put glorification in because it helps us to compare. But the main two we're interested in are these first two. So we're going to look at certain things to compare. And the first one we wanted to compare, speaking of a believer, is that justification is past tense to a believer. You're already justified. You don't need to be justified again. No true believer ever needs justification more than once. Justification is past tense, as we'll see. Sanctification is present tense. That's his work with you now. He's sanctifying, wanted to make you more and more Christ-like, wanted to make you more and more like him. You know, so that's the process of sanctification. And your glorification, when you receive bodies like unto his own glorious body, is in the future. That's at the first resurrection. That's when you'll fully be glorified. Now we have in measure. Now we have the foretaste. Now we have the first fruits. But the fullness of glorification comes at the first resurrection, at the rapture, when we changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's the full glorification. But the thing we need to see here is that sanctification is present tense. That's what's happening in every single believer's life now. Justification is past tense. Justification is a once and for all act in time. When you came to the cross, Christ, there was a process before it. He prepared you for it. But when you accepted Christ, you were changed from death to life, changed from darkness to light. He says, your sins and your iniquities, I remember them no more. That was justification. You don't need that again. Justification is a one-off thing. It's once and for all an act in time. Now, justification, the definition of it, describes the act. So it's an act. It's not a process, it's an act. You're not saved gradually, but you're sanctified gradually. You're justified once. We'll see it as we go. It's an act. Like I said, there might have been preparation, things that took place before you came to that accepting of Christ, before you knelt down, spiritually speaking, at the cross and repented and Christ came into your heart. There might have been a long process before that when he prepared you for it. But the actual act of justification was an instant something that took place inside of your life. It's an act. So it's the act. Justification describes the act by which a man or a woman is brought into a right relationship to God. So justification is taking you from being separate, alienated from God. And it's something that takes place in your life and you're brought into the right relationship with God. Yeah, that's what it is. Now he's your father. Now you can approach him. Now, you know, there's no sin or iniquity between you and him. That's what justification does for us. That's the area of justification. Now, the word of a dikaio, which is justify, it's a legal term Paul uses when he says we are justified. It's a legal term having to do with the law and the courtroom, where it is represented the legal binding verdict of the judge. So here's the accused, like us, standing before the judgment. We're guilty. No, we're pleading for mercy. We need some way to find grace and mercy. Legal terminology. And there's the presiding judge, and he's going to judge, give his verdict on your case. That's when you're coming to the cross. So this is a legal thing. So when a judge makes a decision and says you're either guilty or not guilty, it's not a process. There's a process that might have led up to it. But when he hammers that gavel down and says, you are not guilty, you're not guilty, that just changes everything at that point, you know, so as soon as that happens. It's actually a forensic or a legal term, which means to acquit. So you've been acquitted. So it's a not guilty. It is the normal word to use when the accused is declared not guilty. So that's the same term. If somebody was said not guilty, they were justified.
Right.
So you're declaring that the accused is not guilty. That you as the court, you as the judge, you see nothing in that person that's worthy of being judged. Judgment's been met. You know, you're satisfied. Now, obviously, this is speaking about Calvary. I mean, this is absolutely speaking about it. What it means is to declare a person, in scriptural terms, to be righteous before God. So when you are justified, God looks at you, and we know because he looks at you in Christ, because he looks at you through the blood of Christ, he looks at you through the perfection of Christ, the finished work of Christ. But when you come to him and you accept Christ, that he was the substitute for you, that he died for you, you are judged as being not guilty. That's what he says, your sins, your iniquities, I remember them no more. You are declared in a heavenly terminology to be righteous before God. Paul says, we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we're as righteous as God is righteous. So it's obviously, he says, an imputed righteousness. Somebody else has bestowed this righteousness upon us, but in the eyes of God, you're not guilty. We sing the song Justified. You never did it in the first place. You know, the book's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, thrown into the sea of God's forgetfulness. He'll never remember those trespasses and transgressions against you again. Satan might fish them out of the sea of God's forgetfulness, then they just go onto his account. And because with the Lord, it's finished. You know, to him, it's finished, not guilty. You're acquitted. You're righteous in my sight. That's what justification does. It declares a person, God is declaring, you are righteous before me. Yeah, there's nothing between you and me, nothing between your soul and me. If you die now, you come straight into my prison. That's what justification is. That's what the act of justification is. Now, there's a difference between declaring someone righteous and making somebody righteous. Now, that's the difference between justification and sanctification.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a big difference. And God declares us because of what Christ has done for us, because of Calvary, he declares us as righteous. But when we accept Christ, we still got a lot of bad habits, still got a lot of bad attitudes, bad things, bad friendships, bad things. So now he needs to take us to the next stage to make us righteous, to help us not just to talk the talk, but to walk the walk. Yes, that's the next thing. Sanctification is the next stage. Justification's done, it's complete, you're acquitted. Now you go into sanctification. Now he wants to make you righteous. He doesn't want to just declare you righteous. He wants to make you righteous. So that's what it says. The definition, the word does not mean to make righteous. Justification doesn't mean to make righteous, because that is to effect a change of character. Justification doesn't change your character. It changes your standing before God. The question of character and conduct belongs to a different area, namely sanctification. So your character, your conduct, your bad habits, your weaknesses, all those kind of things. Let me just have my secret potion here. So sanctification, we're dealing now with character, conduct, and things like that. You know, so once we start to understand this, we start to understand where are we as believers. You know, where are you as a believer? To a believer, justification is past tense. It was glorious. It's wonderful. It's things you worship the Lord for in time and eternity, but it's not something we need to keep going back to. No, we don't want that. You know, we don't need to be unsure of his work inside of our lives. We know we were saved. Now, you might have bad habits resurface, old things start coming back again. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you need sanctification. That's what's needed here. So the next thing is justification is positional. It positions you in Christ. God doesn't look at you as you were. He looks at you in Christ now. Where sanctification is progressive. It has to be progressive. We're going to be going through sanctification right unto the body change. Or until we go by the way of the grave, if that's the way that we go. Because he's going to be molding us and making us and fashioning his image in us. Are you ever going to come to a stage where you believe in this life, you're going to say, I'm perfect. I'm perfectly reflecting the image of Christ. No ways. That's how sanctification is continuous. It's progressive. Glorification, being perfectly in his image, is prospective. It's coming up in the future.
Amen.
You know, to every single believer. So, I put this, we require sanctification in order to receive the Holy Ghost, because he's not going to pour his pure presence into a defiled vessel, you know, with bad habits and bad attitudes and unforgiveness and all this. He's not. He's going to deal with those things in your life first through sanctification. However, sanctification doesn't stop when you receive the Holy Ghost. So we need sanctification to prepare us for the Holy Ghost. But even when you receive the Holy Ghost, doesn't mean you're perfectly sanctified. You know, it doesn't mean you still don't have some bad attitudes now and again and certain things, rough points he needs to file off and certain things you don't react in the image of Christ. No. So sanctification is a very important present tense work of the Holy Ghost in the life of every single believer. But it's a prerequisite if you want to receive the Holy Ghost. If you don't have a, if you're not sanctified, you're not going to receive the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. You might get anointed, you might speak in tongues, you might have gifts. That's all on the outward. It doesn't mean that your soul has been filled with his presence. Sanctification prepares you for the Holy Ghost and continues on once you become a tabernacle of the living God. Okay, so we need to just move on to the next one then. Justification takes place when? At your spiritual birth. That's what it's speaking of. Justification is when you were born in Christ. You came to the cross, you came to the Lord. Sanctification speaks of spiritual growth. It's not birth, not growth. Now it's maturity. That's what we're speaking about here. It's a process. And glorification speaks of spiritual perfection. So we're still in spiritual growth, but he's going to complete the work that he began in us. And one day we're going to have a body like and his own body. We're going to stand in perfection in his presence when we glorify it. So you can see where he's leading us to. Amen. So what we're going through now is a very, very important stage of that. He has a prayer line. And what's happened here, there was an altar call. If you listen to this message, it's a God has a provided way. You'll see it on the third slide. And people come to the altar and they receive Christ. So there's justification. Then there's a prayer line to pray for the sick. And one of the people from the prayer line, from the altar now comes into the prayer line. And Brother Bram, the anointing comes down, the pillar of fire comes down, and this man comes and stands before him. And he says, "How do you do, sir? Were you one of the standers a few minutes ago? They stood up to receive Christ." He says, "I see. It's still light around you. You accepted Christ as your personal savior." So the person was changed already from darkness to light. And he could see in the spiritual realm, this person was still surrounded by light. You know, something takes place at that instant now when you receive Christ. And the prophet could see that. But now this person's got some problems. He says, "You're suffering with a nervous condition. Isn't that right? You've had a bad habit smoking." So now they don't need justification. Now they're needing sanctification. God doesn't want you to do that. That's hurting your nerves, making you do that. Isn't that the truth? And the person says, "Yes, sir." "You want to get over it. You forsake cigarettes. You forsake everything. Jesus Christ has already touched your body. And you're going to be well and serve him." So you're going to see there's a part he has to do here in sanctification. Because sanctification, we're going to see, is not just the work of God. He's got to go and take those cigarettes and throw them in the bin.
That's right.
Yes. He's got to separate himself from those things that are defiling him. Yes. The Lord's going to quicken him and help him and give him power to overcome those things. But he's got a part that he's got to play, which is very different than in justification. So you can see this man now, he's justified, but he needs sanctification. So justification is redemption commenced. It's the start of redemption. Sanctification is redemption continued. So the same one who started the work, and he is continuing that work inside of you. And then glorification is redemption completed. And now we're perfectly redeemed. We're standing in his presence. We're standing in his glory. So that's his desire. Now, there's only one way in which sinful man could be declared righteous before God. So justification is going to declare you as righteous. So how is that? Obviously, the cross.
That's right.
There's only one way that you can be declared righteous before God. And that's to accept the perfect righteousness of Christ. That he who is perfectly righteous took all of our unrighteousness upon himself. And you believe the good report, the Holy Ghost speaks to your soul, You submit yourself, you accept Christ. That's obviously what it's got to be. We've got to come to the cross. That's what justification is. But that's why it says justification through Christ's finished work. So his work that he did on the cross was sufficient, perfect, to finish the work of justification. We simply had to receive it. When you receive Christ, you receive the benefit of his finished work, which is justification, forgiveness of sin. Something comes into you. New birth comes in. Light comes in. Darkness goes out. But sanctification is through Christ's present work.
Amen.
So the work that he's doing with you presently, Jesus isn't dying for you anymore. He did that once.
Mm-hmm.
Justification was a one-off thing that he did for you. Now he is, as a believer, if you've already accepted Christ, he is now working in your life,
mm-hmm.
in the process of sanctification. He's molding you. He's changing you. He's teaching you. He's testing your reaction to an action, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the process of sanctification. So sanctification is through his present work, even now, this very instant, this very second. He is working in your life through the process of sanctification to make you more and more like him.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be transformed more and more into his image. So we can be more and more effective, that we may glorify him in a greater and greater way. That's what he desires. Glorification is through Christ's future work. When he comes back, that's when we're going to be glorified. So you can see these things, each of them have their perfect place. And you'll always find sanctification, it's the present tense one. Justification is past, glorification is future, and it is sanctification that he's dealing with us down that line now. So let's just hammer it down a bit before we come to a close. So when you're justified, you save from the penalty of sin.
Mm-hmm.
When you're sanctified, you save from the power of sin. See, there's a difference.
Wow.
Israel was justified by the Passover lamb, but they were sanctified through the Red Sea and also in the wilderness. You know, the Lord wanted to save and purge them from the power of sin. So the blood now that it saved them now started to work in a different way. The life that was in the blood, the Holy Ghost started to work in another way to rid you from the power of sin. Those habits, those customs, those when you can't, you know, your temper and all these kind of things. That's the present tense working of the Holy Ghost inside of your life. And glorification is going to save us from the presence of sin. When we glorify, there's going to be no sin anywhere. Satan's going to be bound, cast into the lake of fire in the end. We're not going to have bodies that are subject to sin. The earth is going to be filled with the glory, the presence of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So glorification, there's just no sin. I mean, but now we need sanctification. You see, that's what he's dealing with us down the line as now. Now, justification is true of all believers at the moment of salvation. The moment you receive Christ, you were justified. Every single believer was justified when you received Christ. But sanctification begins in all believers at the moment of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment you receive Christ, sanctification now kicks in, and that goes with you right the way through your earthly pilgrimage. And glorification will be finished in all believers at the first resurrection. It's going to be a finishing point of sanctification inside of our lives. And that's when we glorified, when Christ comes, because there's no more need for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to really give you a bit of a summary here. So if you bring it here, and justification was accomplished by the death of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctification is accomplished by the work of Christ, the work that he's doing in your life, my life now. That's why he's taking us through the trials he is. That's why he's revealing things to us. That's why he's putting us in situations. That's why he's dealing with us and burdening us about certain things. That's why the word is preached down a certain line. And that's why he anoints certain things when you read it in the scriptures. Because those are things that he wants you to focus on, things that he wants to deal with inside of your life. That he wants the power of the blood to deal with these things inside of every believer. So sanctification is accomplished by the present tense work of Christ.
Mm.
But glorification will be accomplished by the return of Christ. Mm. You know, so his death once and for all justified us. Mm. But now as our great high priest, as our advocate, you know, as our supreme headship, our Lord, under whom he has full jurisdiction over us, he's now working inside of our lives. And he's got a purpose he wants to accomplish at his return. So there it is there. Justification, once and for all. Sanctification, his current work in the seven church ages. That's why he sends a message to each of the ages, pours the oil into each of the candlesticks, seven stars in his hand to deal with the sins, to deal with the weaknesses of each age. He gives counsel to each age. He sends his anointing to each age to purge his bride in each age from the weaknesses of that age. He needs to sanctify his bride. And it's a process, and he washes us by the waters of his word, and all the different things that he does inside of our lives. We'll see it as we get into sanctification. But you can see it's his past work, but sanctification is his present work. Our great faithful high priest, his dealings with us now, as he ever lives to make intercessions. Let's get to the last section. So justification is entirely God's work. Let no person ever try to add to justification, because Jesus said, it is finished. Mm-hmm. And woe unto a person that says we have to add something to it is finished. Mm-hmm. When he said it was finished, heaven said, amen. The veil was rent. Mm-hmm. The graves were opened. There came the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Heaven said, it's finished. So no matter how much the devil says it's not finished, he's a liar. Don't listen to him. Right. Listen to what the word says. It's mm-hmm. finished. It's finished. Your justification, your salvation, it's finished if you believe in Christ.
Amen.
But sanctification is not entirely God's work. A believer's got to cooperate with the Spirit. God cannot sanctify you unless you are willing to be sanctified.
That's right.
You can resist him and not be sanctified. You can keep all your bad habits, all your bad moods, all of your sinful tendencies. You can keep them as long as you want. But he's going to be trying to deal with you. He's going to be trying to say, give that over to me. He's going to be trying to say, the best message to deal with this one. Sorry, my magic potion a bit. The best message to listen to, if you listen to the message, is called Doors Indoors. When Brother Bram goes to show, when a person believes in Christ, Christ is knocking at the door wanting to come in. You open the door and you let him in. That's justification. But he comes into the parlor. There's a lot of other rooms inside of your house. There's a room of your relationships, the room of how you spend your time, room of your, you know, whatever that it is, your relationships, all these different things, you know, I don't know, your entertainment, all those, whatever. And he wants now to come into and become Lord of every aspect. That's sanctification, huh? So he looks to see where the problem is. He says, you're not letting me into this room. You know, you want to spend all your time doing this, but that's defiling you. Can't you see what it's doing? It's weakening your testimony. Okay. It's hindering your progress, your walk with me. So he knocks there, but you've got to open the door and allow him to come to deal with you in that room.
Mm-hmm.
So in sanctification, we've got to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. We've got to discern and realize, Lord, you're dealing with him about this. I can see this doesn't please you. Now, when I hang around with these people, it's displeasing to you. It hinders my testimony. It's holding me back as a believer. Lord, please, I can see what you're trying to do. And you come and lay yourself upon the altar. You have to allow the Holy Ghost to come and purge you and cleanse you of that weakness. But there's got to be free will. You've got to desire it. You've got to give him permission. He's a gentleman. He's not going to kick the door down. You know, he's knocking and saying, that's not good for you. That's holding you back from the next stage in your Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me. Let me help. I'll give you something better in return. Mm-hmm. But we are the ones that have got to open the door.
That's right.
So we've got to cooperate. Glorification, completely God's work. Now, for you to receive a body change, for you to that's nothing to do with anything that you can do. But what you're going through now is very important in the process to prepare you for that. That's our sanctification. We've got to cooperate. But justification is completely his work. So I made it there. Jesus on the cross, justification is completely the work of God. You come to the cross, Jesus comes to you. Now you're together in a partnership in sanctification.
Right.
Now you take his yoke upon you. Now you take up your cross when he says, come and take up my cross. Take my cross, my yoke upon you. My burden is easy, whatever is light. And the little picture on the side there, it becomes when you have the right attitude and you get on your knees and say, Lord, please, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to bring reproach upon your name. I don't want to weaken my testimony. Lord, I don't like being like this. That's when you find now the sanctifying power of Christ will start dealing with you inside of your life. Because you've acknowledged, you've admitted, you've come to him, you've laid it before him, you've opened up your heart, laid it upon the altar. He's going to be faithful to continue that work that he started inside of your life. So that's the doors and doors, like I say. You can see there's a very big difference between justification and sanctification. Both have their place, both are equally as important, but one leads to the next. Okay, so justification makes you perfect. You're perfectly justified in this life. We don't need to be more justified. We're perfectly justified because of Christ. If you're a believer, in God's eyes, you're perfectly just. Otherwise, when you die, you're not going to go to heaven. God's not going to allow anyone to come to heaven who's not perfectly just. He's not going to allow any sin to tread his courts anymore. He allowed it once before with Lucifer. He's never going to allow it again.
Okay.
You know, so justification, we are perfectly justified when you believe in Christ. But sanctification, in this life, you're never going to be perfectly sanctified. Never. You can't be. But in glorification, we'll be perfect in the life to come. Now we have the down payment. We have the earnest. Now he's perfecting our character. You know, he's that perfection within a measure. Like God's perfection now is putting everything inside of us that is prerequisite for us to fulfill the purpose we are put here for. That's what God says is this perfection in this life. When you have everything required to fulfill the purpose God sent you for, God says that's perfection. That's good. But that's not sinless perfection. Sinless perfection is the end result of the believer's walk in sanctification with Christ. One day we'll stand and be as he is, have bodies as his glorious body. We won't have a human spirit anymore. We won't have all these bad memories. We won't have all of these imaginations that come. What if the greatest battle ever fought that gives us a hard time?
That's right.
We will be as he is. That's when you'll truly be perfect in Christ. So everything now is in measure. Our perfection now is in a measure. But then it's what's in part now will be in the fullness of its power. So sanctification, you're never going to have perfect sanctification in this life. You know, the Methodist said it. You read it in the message. Brother says, the Methodist spoke about perfect and entire sanctification. The prophet said, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. You know, there's no perfect sanctification like that. So, justification now, every believer has exactly the same measure of justification.
Mm-hmm.
We are all as just in the sight of God as everybody else. No one is more justified before God than anybody else because we're justified in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't look at us. He looks at the blood. He looks at the finished work of Christ. So he's not looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
We are in Christ, in the body of Christ. So we are perfectly just.
Mm-hmm.
The imputed righteousness of Christ. So every believer is equally as justified now, but not every believer is equally as sanctified now. Some believers are far more sanctified than other believers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not so?
Right.
Think of your life now to what you used to be a few years ago. You'll even say it for yourself.
Right.
If you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
Here you say, but hey, my walk with him now is closer than it was 5 years ago, but it's not a perfect walk yet. Yeah, otherwise, you'd be like Enoch, you would have been changed in the moment of it. Just take a walk one day and you'll be as not.
Glory.
No, we haven't got there yet. So sanctification is greater in some than in others. Some people come to the Lord and they're more sanctified in 1 year than others are after 10 years after they came to the Lord, because it's not just God's work. You've got to cooperate with him in sanctification.
Amen.
And some people don't want to be sanctified.
Mom.
No, they like hanging around with worldly friends. They like spending all of their time watching things they shouldn't be watching. Doesn't mean they're not justified, but they haven't gone very far down the in the process of sanctification. And we'll see it next time. That is why so many people come and they never receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
Because sanctification is a prerequisite for the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
There's got to come a certain measure of sanctification. You can't have willful sin.
Mm.
You can't have willful bad habits inside of your life. You can't have things that he wants to sanctify you of, and you hold on to those things and think he's going to cap off the work and seal you unto the day of your redemption. It doesn't work like that. That's why sanctification is such an important part in the process. To prepare yourself for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The only thing that holds you back from the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the sanctification in your life.
Amen.
The moment your life is sanctified, why is God not going to fill the vessel when it's clean? He's picked up the glass from the chicken yard. He wants to fill it with pure living waters. But he's got to cleanse the glass first. He's not going to fill it till it's clean. The moment it's clean, he fills it up. It's no problem about the Holy Ghost to a person. We'll see it next time what Brother says. To a person who desires above all things to walk with God.
Amen.
Yeah, like if the Lord says, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son. It's hard. Okay, Lord, I'll sacrifice my son. And whatever you want me to lay upon the altar. It doesn't take long for God to do a powerful work in the life of a person when they're willing just to walk with him as he leads them along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that process of sanctification. So sanctification is greater in some believers than it is in others. Glorification on that day when we changed, exactly the same in all believers. You're not going to be more glorified than me. I'm not going to be more glorified than you. We're going to all partake of the fullness of glorification. Mm-hmm. So you can see sanctification is the difference in all of these things. Everything else is common. Everything else is perfectly the work of God. But sanctification is the key. It was God's work to bring them out of Egypt. It was God's work to place them in the promised land.
You black nigger.
That was where the problem was coming. It was in the wilderness now. You know, when God wanted to sanctify them of the old customs and gods of Egypt and the Egypt habits,
Andrew.
And diet and all of those kind of things, that's where the problem came in now, was in the wilderness. And I'm sure we all understand that. Okay, so let's finish off. So next time, if we get into it by the grace,
hey, Shalom!
We'll be having a look at sanctification. So the word sanctify or sanctifying comes from the word that means holy, set apart, consecrated. Now consecration, we sing the song, now's my time for consecration. You can't consecrate yourself just by yourself. There's going to be no power.
Shut your big
but
ass
when
up.
The Holy Ghost is dealing with you, now's your time to consecrate yourself. Now's your time set apart so that it can set you free.
You satisfier.
Yeah.
People joking.
I'm sorry, I'm just gonna summon that. I just took them out of there. So sanctifying.
Hey, shut up, you dog ass nigger.
Shut your bitch ass up, man. You fucking stupid nigger. You man, what the fuck? What is going on? I don't know. What the fuck? You what? You are black, man. What? What? What?
I was gonna get rid of these.
Shut your bitch ass up, man.
You
fucking.
You not just cut them off.
Alhamdulillah, tabun mo.
Yeah.
You old fat nigger. You fucking. You old bump. Fuck you.
Okay, guys, the devil is ever busy. The Lord's at work and Satan's at work. Lord wants to sanctify. What does Satan want to do? He wants to defile. That's his job. He wants to corrupt. That's his job. So sanctifying comes from holy, set apart, or consecrated. And what it means is consecration, purification, or dedication, personal dedication to the interests of deity. So God calls you for a purpose. And he wants so much to be glorified. He wants so much to use you. He wants so much to be in, walk with you hand in hand, walk with you arm in arm, walk with you in partnership. But there's got to be personal dedication. You've got to dedicate yourself. You've got to allow, you know, you've got to submit yourself to the call, to the purpose. That's got to be the most important thing to you. And anything that comes in the way that's hindering you from the next stage, from the fullness of his purpose, you've got to allow him to sanctify you, to deal inside of your life with that particular issue. Then he can take you on to the next process. It's separation from the secular, from the worldly, and from the sinful, and being set apart for the sacred. There's Isaiah there. He needed to be sanctified. He needed the hot coal of fire to be taken from the brazen altar to touch his lips. Then the voice said, "Who will go? Who will I send?" They said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." You know, so that's what it was. But it was his willingness to confess, his willingness to be cleansed. And then the Lord did the rest for him. And then the Lord put his word in his mouth. And Isaiah became the prince of the prophets, prophesying of right the way through to the millennium and the new heavens and the new earth. So we'll just go that far, saints. Let's leave it at that. Let's pray. Father, may you help each and every one of us. Lord, that is our desire, to be more like you. Father, we do not want to hold on to anything, Lord, that would hinder your glory from working inside of our lives. We do not want to hold on, Father, to habits and customs and things, Father, that defile and things that hold us back. We think of Samson, Lord, how he just didn't want to be sanctified for so long inside of his life and how he could never find that consistency, Lord. Father, Lord, he can never walk with you the way that he should until he came to that final stage for that one more time, Lord. And he was willing to die with the Philistines. And that's when your glory could come at its fullness inside of his life. So may you help us in these things, we pray. Bless our young people, bless our new people, bless each brother, bless each sister, Lord, and help each and every one of us, we pray. As Lord, we pray you'll bless the remainder of this fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. I do apologize for our trespasses. I don't know how they found us out, but they've gone. So. Yeah, anybody want to just make any comments, any questions?
The devil is not pleased.
Yeah, bro, that's how it is, bro. We just push on.
But yes, good one, Pastor. Thank you.
Okay, bro.
Amazing.
Oh, bro, just sanctification. May the Lord help us. Justification. I know people that already the Lord's dealing with them in sanctification. Sometimes a person stays too long in the wilderness. They get on a death walk. And then the enemy will come and tell them, you were never justified in the beginning. I mean, it's a very common thing. But, you know, the Lord doesn't save you to lose you. You know, he doesn't start a work and he doesn't finish. Some people, it's emotion in the beginning. Some people never go deep enough. We do understand. We'll see it next time. But a genuine work of justification, that's Christ working in you. Mm. Yeah, he's going to continue to work with you. And all we've got to do... Yo!
Just for someone online here that they won't have a clear picture.
Yeah.
Can you just give it just in literally 3 minutes, those three stages of a believer's life?
Yeah, well, justification is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you come to the altar, you realize that Christ died for you. Christ died for the ungodly. You realize you're ungodly. You realize you're sinful. You realize your sins have separated you from God. You realize that if you die in your current condition, you can't go into the perfect kingdom because you are totally imperfect, defiled, sinful. You're evil. Like all of us, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. There's not one righteous, the Bible says, no, not one. Even our own righteous, own good works, giving to charity and all that which we did is as filthy rags. It just can't stand in the presence of God. Though it was good what we did, but it's nothing we could do because we were defiled. We were unclean. Everything we tried to offer to God is unclean. That's why Christ had to die for the ungodly. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. the only perfect man, to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So God took our sin and the penalty of our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, our evil thoughts, our evil words, our evil deeds, our lying, our stealing, our wicked thoughts, our fornications, our adulteries, all of the transgressions, the sins that we did against God. God took those and placed them on Jesus on the cross and judged him. He was judged in our stead. He was judged as a substitute. He stood on our behalf. And then the Holy Ghost comes, the Spirit of God now. And in our season of visitation, he speaks to our hearts. He prepares us. He says, you better set your things in order, because if you die, you're going to hell. You'll perish in the lake of fire. And you start to sing, but woe is me, I'm sinful. What can I do? I can't cleanse myself. Then he reveals to you in the preaching of the word or through friends or in the Bible, whatever, that Christ died for you. Yeah, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then you accept that and you say, oh my, Christ died for me. And that's when you're justified. God says, you've accepted my perfect sacrifice. You've accepted my provided way. So now I forgive you. And it's like he takes the old book of your life that had every bad thought, every bad deed, every lie, everything you should have done that you didn't do, everything that you did that you shouldn't have done, everything that was recorded against you, such a great volume, such a great record of deeds and iniquities and attitudes and thoughts and things we did. And he takes the blood of Jesus and washes it all away. And he says, your sins that were scarlet, they shall be white as wool. He says, your iniquities, I remember them no more. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So God forgets and he says, I remember them no more. God says, you are now just. You are now just in my sight. You are righteous. You can now approach me. You're my son. You're my daughter. Then he starts working inside of your life, because God didn't save you just so you wouldn't go to hell. God saved you so that he could use you, so that you could learn in this life what it is to walk with God. God saved you for a purpose. He called you so that you'd be part of his body, so he could be glorified in and through you, so he can use you for his kingdom. And it's the most glorious thing. So now he needs to start dealing with the bad attitudes, bad habits. He's forgiven you of your sin, but it's like when you cut down the rotten fruit trees in your orchard. If you leave the roots there, be careful. Just a matter of time that they're going to start sprouting again. And if you leave it long enough, you're going to have the same rotten fruits coming up again. You know, so when the Lord forgives you, it's like he cuts it all down. But given enough time, you're going to end up going back and doing the same things again. So sanctification now is he starts dealing with the power, the root of sin, the sin principle in you that made you do the things that you did. He's forgiven you of the things that you did. But now he needs to rid you of the desire for sin, needs to rid you of that capacity, the weakness inside of you that continually leads you to do those things. That's now when he starts dealing with you, speaks to you, washes you in the waters of your word, helps people to be with you. And he speaks to your soul, puts you in situations like Isaiah. You start seeing, but wow, yeah, I know I'm a believer, but hey, my tongue sometimes is so quick to gossip. Now, the first time someone opens an ear, it's unbelievable how quickly my mouth opens to fill the ear. But you start saying, I don't want to be like this. I want to go deep. I want to be more like Christ. Now he's knocking to say, let me come in. I'll help you with that. Now he starts to sanctify. He starts giving you power, changing that nature, uprooting those roots that brought forth those rotten fruits. And then when now he's got you to that stage, he cleanses you like that. You know, you don't have any of these things, major things inside of your life that are going to discredit his kingdom and, you know, and bring disgrace upon his name, reproach upon his cause. He now says, this vessel is ready. It's a surrendered, consecrated, yielded vessel. You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But your heart is perfect before him. You have a perfect desire. You say, Lord, I just want you above all else. I don't, even if everybody turns against me, everyone even laughs at me, it doesn't matter. I just want more of you. I just want to serve you in all the days of this life and in the world to come. Then he fills you with his glory. He fills you with the Holy Ghost. He gives you power for service. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. then you shall be my witnesses. Now you baptize into the body of Christ. Now you are subject to all nine gifts of the Spirit, subject to various calls. You can be a pastor, evangelist, whatever, the fivefold ministry. You can have a gift of intercession, gift of faith, gift of miracles, gift of healing, whatever. You might be somebody out on the streets to lead people to Christ. You might just be, you know, a simple person who lives such a godly life that your life leads your neighbors to Christ, leads your children to Christ, you know, whatever that it is. But there's a purpose God called you for. And he wants to fill you with himself, you know, to bring into being, to activate the fullness of that purpose so you can be what you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and still, he's dealing with you, he's helping you along the way, he's doing all those kind of things. So that's justification, the forgiveness of sin, sanctification, dealing with the root of sin, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, power now for service. The baptism of the Holy Ghost doesn't make you more of a Christian, because you have to already be a Christian before you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It just gives you power. So now you can start living above a lot of the things you couldn't live about and being used of God and for his glory in ways that are far beyond the way that he was using you before. Mm-hmm. And then he continues leading you on to adoption now, you know, to the high calling in Christ Jesus that Paul says, we keep pressing on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, so he wants to really be glorified more and more inside of you and I. So that's basically the process. Anybody else before we finish this? Anybody online at all? There's quite a few on YouTube. Otherwise, we'll get an early night. People are saying Sunday was tough enough. We don't need a double portion tonight. We're dealing with the little foxes that spoil the vine. Please don't get back on that topic again. Let's rather finish now. Brother Jesse, would you pray for us there, please, brother, if you're close to us in prayer. Thank you, man.
And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord God, for the love that you have for us. Thank you so much for, Lord God, for love, choosing us even before the foundation of the world. But thank you, Lord God, for using your servant, Lord, to speak to us, to remind us, the Lord, that we have been justified. Lord, when you call us to the cross, Lord, the work has been finished. Father, Lord, we know, Lord God, that we are an earthly vessel in this body, the Lord of flesh, O Lord, is weak, but the Spirit is willing. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you please help us, O Lord, to, Lord, search our hearts, search, O Lord, the doors that you are knocking on. Help us to heed to the knock, O Lord, and help us, Lord God, to let you in into our vessel, Lord God, that you will, Father, Lord, speak to us with that still small voice to help us to yield all those, all everything, Lord God, that's hindering us to receive, Lord, the filling of the Holy Ghost. We ask, Lord God, that you, Father, Lord, as we leave this platform, that you please, Father, we ask, Lord God, that we meditate, O Lord, as that the seed has been sown on our hearts, Lord God, may it be fertile. Lord, Father, we ask, Lord God, that, Lord, may not the cares of this world, Lord, come, O Lord, and uproot what you have spoken through your servant. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you continue, O Lord, to help us to humble our hearts, Father. As we, Lord God, prepare for Friday, Lord, we're so grateful, Lord God, that you've given us this platform, Lord God, during the week, to, Lord God, to help our spirits, Lord God, to continue to walk with thee, to, Lord, prepare our hearts, O Lord, for Friday, for service, Lord, Lord, for when we also gather into your house, Lord God, to pray, to have a closer walk with thee. We ask, Lord God, that you please, O Lord, we know, Lord God, that you're with us all the time. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you continue, O Lord, to help us to hearken unto your word. Father, those, Lord God, that Lord, you help, Lord God, with the walk. We ask that you please, O Lord, your word, O Lord, continue, O Lord, in the cooling of the dove, continue, O Lord, to speak to us. Father, as we take this platform, O Lord, that you please, may you please lead with us. We look forward, O God, to the next time, Lord God, that we, O Lord, continue, we have to look for the word, to look forward to the listening of the word. We ask that you, God, that you be with us as we continue to wait upon you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. God bless you, saints. Meet you down the way. May the Lord receive your sister, Rosanne. God bless you there. Brother Sasha, God bless. Oh, right. God bless, bro. It's Big Ollie there. God bless you, bro.
Who's that next to you?
This is the church.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. God bless you, Ruth.
God bless.
God bless you too, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Good night. God bless.
Get better.
Thanks so much. Keep us in prayer.
Bye, Rachel.
Bye, Ellie.